Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a filmmaker who's had a global impact is from the Chippewa Valley and bringing his documentary film on his parents and their business home to the Pablo Center in Eau Claire on August 29th. We'll talk with them next on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Justin Johnson, better known as Justin Superstar, has his own business with 28 employees. Based out of the Twin Cities, he does B&P Creative with employees even in Indonesia. His biggest client, Netflix. But his most personal film that he's proudest of is the documentary telling the story of his parents, Brian and Randy Johnson of Eau Claire, and their extraordinary journey to help Randy feel complete after her battle with breast cancer and subsequent mastectomy. Through Brian's innovative and unorthodox solutions, the couple launches a project that grows from a labor of love into an unintended calling with the power to change thousands of lives through the sale of custom and handmade prosthetic nipples for their clients. The film is called Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory. I asked Justin how he came up with the name.
Yeah, so the name of the film is Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory, and that was something where it initially started. The name of the film was My Dad's Nipple Factory, and it just was, nipple factory is the term that I thought was kind of funny because it's not really a factory. It's literally like a room in our house where my dad is like using toothpicks and Q-tips and like used tape dispensers, and it's all very scrappy and DIY, but I always love that term as kind of like how we talked about this particular thing, because it is very homemade. And so the original idea was my dad molding, it was going to be this father-son type of bonding film where my dad, initially they were all kind of custom made, and now they're more like basic models. So this was going to be about my dad making his son a third nipple, and that was going to be the whole conceit. But I couldn't really figure out the core of it. Like, I had that element, but it wasn't until I realized the core of the film is really my parents' love story. It's not really about the business. And in a lot of ways, it's not really about nipples and those kinds of things. Like, it really is about this beautiful love story of someone. My mom is like the woman of my dad's dreams. And it's just like someone who's going outside the norm to make the person that he loves feel whole again. Really, I was like, oh, that's a relatable story. So it made a lot more sense have that mom and dad's, just feels more approachable. And so it's like kind of this cute like couple story, but then we throw a little zinger at you with the nipple factory. And I think it's something that as I've gone to film festivals, people are always like, oh yeah, I saw that one in the program, and like it really stuck out to me. So and I think the key here is like it's not, there are certainly like you'll laugh, you'll cry, that kind of stuff. Like it has pathos to it, but it's also a really funny movie. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of levity there, and certainly people who are from the area will see a lot of little Easter eggs. Like, I really wanted Eau Claire to be a character in this movie because in a lot of ways it's a love letter to my parents, but I think that it also is a love letter of where I came from, and I just don't think there's a lot of content, especially like this, that has been made about Eau Claire. So that's why for us to be able to share it with the community, and I think is like really important, and be able to kind of see people's reaction to it.
Justin talks more about his background and his journey to shooting the documentary about his parents' business.
Yeah, so I really like from a very early age, I think my first kind of creative outlet was making videos for youth group. I went to Cedar Creek, and I was like kind of the, not really youth pastor, but like the youth entertainer when I was like a contemporary with my other high school students. And so I would have this captive audience where I could make little silly videos. And it really was kind of like my first experience having an audience for my creative output. And then eventually went to South for a little while. That didn't work out. Ended up moving to San Francisco. I was like, I never want to live somewhere with winter again. And here I am living in Minneapolis again, but like moved out to California, became a part of like some very early internet video startups. I was at a company in 2007. We were really creating like the first like professionally made YouTube videos, and that company was eventually acquired by Google / YouTube. So I worked at Google for about like 8 months, and I really just, it's a great place. It's someone's dream job, but it really wasn't mine. I just really wanted to go back into the pure creative field and really cut my teeth. Just like, essentially, I wanted to go back to just be a freelancer, because you're really incentivized to make stuff. Because if you don't make stuff, you can't pay your rent, and then things get tough from there. So in 2012, I quit my job at Google, moved out to Los Angeles. I was in New York previously at the time, and just started making stuff and flew all around the world making called like branded content documentary. So for example, there's a company called Abbott that made a lot of our COVID tests, and they're this massive med tech company. And so I got to fly out to Switzerland to interview scientists who are making this magnetically levitating heart pump. I got to go to the UK for New Balance shoes to film with a cricket player. I got to go into the deep north woods of Minnesota to film with a guy who takes photos of wild bears, and I got to literally feed a baby black bear almonds out of my hand. So these are like this incredible array of experiences, and that was for Ram Trucks. This incredible array of experiences that I would have never had with a desk job at a fancy tech company. And so that's really been a pretty rewarding creative journey. I did my first feature documentary in 2015, and I did a couple film festivals with that. And then I really just wanted to get back into the film festival circuit. And so I think this is how I convinced my parents. I was like, I'm going to make a short documentary about your business, and it's going to be 5 to 7 minutes, and I'm only going to film for a couple days, and we'll kind of see where it goes from there. And then very quickly, I realized that, hey, this could be a bigger story. And then unfortunately for my dad, who was very reticent to be on camera, it stretched into a feature film. But I think that already we've seen some pretty incredible impact from it.
What's been the reaction? You've been at the Milwaukee Film Festival. You had something, I know, in the Twin Cities. What's been the reaction there and elsewhere around the country and beyond?
It's pretty amazing. This is something, I think like all great documentaries, it's something that is showing you, illustrating a topic, illuminating a topic that just really isn't known that much. And even so, we were the opening night film for the Milwaukee Film Festival, and I think they have 180 plus films and thousands of submissions, and it was a real honor to be the film that played at for that very first kind of kickoff. It sets the tone for the whole festival, and we had a beautiful theater in downtown Milwaukee, and we had a sold out 1,000 seat crowd who were incredible. We got 2 standing ovations. Like, it was literally my wildest dreams at that screening. And afterwards, all the people that were, whether they were cancer survivors, or the film also touches on my own kind of faith journey, being a part of the church and then kind of taking my own path. And so I find that with this film, I'm not really having the same conversation over and over again. The breast cancer survivors or cancer survivors, like, they'll come and they'll tell me their story, or they'll talk to my mom if she's there about my story. And then the similar kids like me with that kind of faith journey story will talk about how my stories resonated with them. So it really touches on like a lot of different topics. And we found that even after that Milwaukee screening, there was someone from a very major cancer charity kind of society who called my mom a couple of days later. And she's like, oh, I can't believe it. I'm talking to the mom from the movie, kind of starstruck. She said she's been a part of this cancer, a part of like the cancer medical industry for so long, but she's never heard of nipple prosthetics. They're essentially mole, like a latex impression that's adhesed on with, basically glue, and they can stand for 2 to 3 weeks. Not surgical or anything, but it's just a way of helping women feel complete again. And really kind of like trying to make that cancer, trying to be able to look in the mirror and not think about the cancer that you went through. And she was like, I've never even heard of this before. So that to me is showing that like we're being able to show women another option. And I think that's pretty cool.
Well, congratulations on your success. This has to be pretty fulfilling for you.
This has been like, I really say it's the most important, of course, the most important film I'll ever make, but just the way that the process of making this film has transformed my life, really from having lived in New York and California, and I think working on this project about my family, my family's kind of secret, really helped me identify, like, hey, I want to be closer to home. I want to be able to spend time with my parents in their golden years. And I think that's probably something that a lot of other parents in a similar situation with a kid who's off, you know, a plane ride away, would maybe be a little jealous of.
I've known your parents for almost 40 years, and I totally relate when you say in terms of their love story. I mean, your mom is, I mean, as genuine and sincere a believer in Christ as I've ever met, and for anybody, for so many who've met her. And then your dad shares that similar faith, but they're very different, right? I mean, in terms of extrovert and introvert.
It's like it's unbelievable. I was editing through some footage of one of the first days we were filming, and it was them going to like the farmer's market. And I was like, I'm just gonna try to find like little moments that illustrate mom as the extrovert and dad as like this very like cautious introvert. And it was just like moment after moment, like mom was on a swing set, and dad's like, careful, Randy, like don't use your feet to slow down or you're gonna ruin your sandals. And she's just having this joy moment, and dad is thinking about like, you could ruin your sandals. I'm like, who does this? And that's in the film, and that's just one of my favorite moments, because I'm like, wow. But I find that like, and I always kind of thought growing up, I'm like, oh yeah, mom's like the fun one, and she's really the obviously the extrovert. And I'm like, dad's kind of like quiet and boring. And then really, as I would tell some people stories from our childhood, another element of the film that I really like is we talk a bit. I'm the oldest of five kids, and my parents raised us on a combined income of like $12,000 a year. So it was very, very frugal living. And so, but my dad is very like, I don't know, like not really passive aggressive, but just he's a very quiet guy. He doesn't like yelling. And certainly people can relate now, but even more so, I'm sure in the 90s, it's just all the kids huddled around the TV playing video games or whatever, and being like yelling and saying, kids, get off the TV. And so dad, because he had so many kids to control and didn't want to yell, he invented this thing called the media timer. So he basically took like one of those timers, like a bathroom fan kind of timer that you'll click on, and when if you turn it, like the fan's on, and then when it goes off, the fan shuts off, and strip the wire to the TV, put that behind like a locked plastic case like you'd use for like a thermostat so you couldn't get in there and mess with it, and essentially created this device where he could set the timer for an hour and go take a nap. And when the timer went off, it was like literally unplugging the TV. There was nothing we could do about
Wow.
it. We didn't have the key. It was just, and I would tell people, oh, you know, his dad made this thing, and they'd be like, that's really weird and interesting. And I'm like, maybe dad is kind of interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. What's next for Justin Johnson, better known as Justin Superstar?
Yeah, so I actually, much like my dad, and starting a lot of little businesses, I'm actually a business owner myself. I have a content agency. Somehow I've accrued 28 full-time employees all around the world, along with a team in Indonesia of like 10. So my full-time job is running my business, and maybe some other films will pop up down the way. I never really stop being creative, but yeah, we're called BMP Creative, and our biggest client right now is Netflix, and we've done a billion and a half views of across TikTok, you know, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. And it's been a real kind of honor to build the company. So just working on that, and I'll probably make some other stuff when I get inspired, but nothing's going to top this one. I just don't think it's possible.
I love the way that this all has manifested, you know?
Absolutely. It's been really special. And just the journey of spending more time with my parents and interviewing them and talking to them, like this is also an element of the film, is really what brought me back home again. So it's a story of my mom becoming whole again, all the men and women who have gone through breast cancer becoming whole again, and really the family unit becoming whole again, which I think is something that is really special and important.
Well, I can't wait to see it Tuesday night, August 29th. And again, that is just right around the corner. So I'm hoping to get this. This will actually be on for people this Sunday night. And that gives them ample time to get their tickets and hopefully pack it out at the Pablo, right?
I would love that.
Justin finally extends his invitation for folks to attend This film, this documentary about his mom and dad showing at the Pablo Center Tuesday, August 29th.
Yeah, and I'd love for people to come out. Our screenings are very limited, so this is kind of a one-night-only situation. And I've heard we've got a very special guest who's going to do a quick intro and then hopefully a Q&A afterwards. I don't know, have you heard rumors of this, Mark?
What do you want me to do?
It's real simple, Mark. So you just come up front, hey, you guys, welcome, you know, like, We're going to show you the film, like, stick around afterwards, and we're going to talk to the filmmaker and some special guests. And then afterwards, you know, you're it's just what you're doing now. You're going to ask us some questions, and we'll give some answers, and I think it will be a lot of fun. But, yeah. You know, you've just meant a lot to me over the years, and I think being able to give me, even as, like, a young person and as someone who was creatively kind of finding myself, I think we've had these little touch points throughout my life. So when I was talking to my parents the other day, I was like, who would be the perfect person to do the Q&A? You just popped right into my head. And so appreciate you being open to that. Cause I really do think this is a film. It's a film that maybe some people would be a little off put by the content matter, but it really, I think from a Christian perspective, like, this isn't a smear piece against the community. I think it's a really beautiful thing that should be celebrated and rallied around, because in a time where things can be very divisive, I kind of wanted to be the black sheep, and my parents were very good about, like, extending the fence and making sure that the family unit stayed whole. And I think that message is really important right now, because I just can't imagine being estranged from my parents. Like, they're just such wonderful people.
Justin Johnson goes by Justin Superstar, and let's all be there Tuesday night, August 29th at the Pablo. I love what Justin's mom, Randy, just posted on Facebook here, saying that don't let the title of this film fool you. This is not just a movie for women or women who've gone through breast cancer, she says. She says it's not a promo for our business. There's something universal and viral about it. And I buy into what Justin says. It's about his mom and dad's love story. In fact, Randy cites Frank Shorter, the first Olympic gold medalist in marathon running back from the early 70s. He and his wife saw this in Massachusetts. And in fact, his wife says that they literally stood and cheered, wept, hoped, and thoroughly loved Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory. So get your tickets. I understand they've sold about 150 or so, 200 the break-even point. That does it for Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs show of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening.